25 years working with the indigenous people. She's got lots of experience among us here, lots of stories to tell, so.
Bob, so.
Sally, what button do I push to turn your computer back on?
I'll have to come and do it, I don't know. I just press it. Oh, goodness.
I think we've been scheduled to come in January and had to cancel. This is the first January we've actually made it here when we've been booked, so woohoo! Good to be here. Stan is not with you this morning. You may or may not know in a newsletter I sent out in November that Stan has actually taken a part-time pastor position at Shiloh Community Church, which is outside of Underwood. And so that's where he is this morning. He's still able to participate in the work on the reserve and do that. So us 60-plussers are balancing two ministries now. That's the gray hair and wrinkles. But we're so thankful. We're so thankful that we have partners like you. You have partnered with us for many years as we have worked on the reserve for 25 years. You have prayed for us, and you have supported us financially. So thank you. Because without you, we could not be on the front lines. So we deeply appreciate that. This morning, if I could title my message something, we're going to go through three different things. We're going to do lament, a biblical word, hope, and celebration. And as I sought the Lord for where to go this year on the reserve, he gave me those three words. Lament, hope, and celebration. Next slide, please. So life is a journey, right? It's filled with victory and loss, hope and despair, confusion and uncertainty. And, you know, reading the Bible and living out what's happening in our world right now are two things I hadn't previously connected. We are actually seeing the Bible come to life in the times we live in. And although we've read about it, I never really pictured myself living in it. And yet, here we find ourselves. We have so much going on in our world. Fires and wars and rumors of wars and weather extremes. And I call this past week Snowmageddon. Because we just kept coming. We have nowhere left to put it. We have a small lot and we're running out of space to put it. I'm not sure what we do next. I guess like in Southampton, they pile the snow in the middle of the road. I guess we'll start that. But lament is not a word we're overly familiar with these days. It's kind of a biblical word. I don't call my friend and say, I'm in lament. But it's easily defined. So what does it mean to lament? Well, it means deeply expressing sorrow, pain, or confusion. It's those times in life when we have more questions than answers. The whys, the how long, the when, the where are you, Lord? I need glasses, that's what I need. I can see my big font, but of course I scribbled all kinds of notes. And without glasses, I'm not going to be seeing them. So I don't know why. Troubles catch us off guard, and struggles, because Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but he didn't leave it there. He said, take heart, or be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. so thankful for that promise today. Lament can be an honest prayer, and it's made in pain. But it doesn't leave us in lament. It's a prayer that leads to hope and to trust. Jesus from the cross showed us an example of lament when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The only time in his life when he experienced separation from the Father, he'd never known that before. And why was he separated from his Father? Because of my sin and your sin. Because sin separated him from a holy God. And so God the Father had to turn away. And so Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever felt like that? Not to the extreme that Jesus did. There have been times in my life where I have wondered, where are you, God? I want to share, and I hadn't planned on this, but now I feel to share this. So, in Southampton, we have a beautiful lakefront. And that is my go-to and have one of those lamenting sessions and ugly cries that I don't really want anyone else to see. You know, you can't say anything, you're just pouring your heart out to the Lord. And I was down there at the lakefront, and I was having one of those, and I call them ugly cries. You know, when you're sobbing, I'm so thankful that at times when we can't put our pain in words, that the Holy Spirit hears our groaning. He helps us express that. I was down there and I was having one of those and I was pouring my heart out with many things that were on my mind and in my heart. And as I was praying, this storm began to roll in off the lake. And I thought, perfect, because this is exactly how I feel. And it was all dark and it was raining and I closed my eyes, not for long. And I was just crying. I thought, this is perfect, but I was saying, where are you, Lord? Well, I didn't have my eyes closed for long, and all of a sudden the sun, light was on my face. Now, this was in moments, within moments. And I opened my eyes, and that whole storm system moved off in moments. Well, I hopped out of my car, and I hopped up on a rock, and I said, thank you, Jesus! Because it's like he said, I'm right here. And we know that he's always with us. You need reminded of that this morning. Because it's not him that goes anywhere, it's us. Sometimes it's pain, and sometimes it's sorrow that we don't feel the Lord's presence with us. But he is there. Lament is needed. It's needed for healing and for wholeness. Our silent cries prevent us from moving forward and having a clear picture of God and his plans and purposes. I want to encourage you this morning to allow those painful emotions to come to the surface. We're really good at stuffing them down. We're really good at not dealing with them, of keeping ourselves so busy. But when we climb into bed at night, it's those things that keep us awake. I don't know if you have reels. I have reels. And they start turning on about 1 in the morning. I'm like, why am I thinking about this right now? I can't do anything but I have learned to take those thoughts captive. We don't have to just think anything that pops in our mind, you know. And I'm replacing them with the truth of God's word. I encourage you to do that. Don't let the enemy get in your head, get in your mind. There's a battle for the mind. You know that, right? Yeah, I've been doing a study with the ladies on the reserve. I don't want to jump around. So back to the point here. So I can get on rabbit trails. But I encourage you to process those. Face them, even the very hardest ones. It will take great courage to do that. It's not an easy thing to do. But rest assured you will not be alone, for the Lord has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You know, it's times of lament when we are being refined We're being renewed, and most importantly, we're being held. You're not alone. You're not alone in your pain and sorrow. You're being held. The Lord is right there. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. I'm so thankful for Him holding us. You know, mountaintops are great, and they're needed. Oh, I'm thankful for mountaintops. But you know what, friends? It's in the valley. It's down in the valleys of life where we really get to know our God. It's those times in my life where the end of Sally Bragg comes to an end. And I soon realize, I don't have it to deal with this. And then I find out God does. God does. This morning, you need to give whatever it is to Him. We have been in a state of lamenting for many years on the reserve. And First Nations people have much to lament. They've had loss of identity and culture. They experience times of grief, and I want to come back to that in a minute. We all experience times of grief, but I want to explain that a little more. Sorrow, pain, trauma, abuse, addictions, alcoholism. We all know about the residential schools. And the reason I want to point out grief and sorrow is because it just seems that that is what we constantly live in on the reserve. Because you have to understand that you're dealing with a tribe and everyone's related to everyone else. I'm the far-off, pale-faced cousin, but I'm thankful they've embraced us as family. That's only God's grace. But they are continually going through grief and loss because everyone is related. You know, it's devastating to remain in lament. And for 25 years, we've seen a lot of remaining in lament. And it's not just devastating to you, but it's devastating to those around you, to your family, to your friends, to your community. This summer was one of the greatest tragedies in the past 25 years that I can recall, and there's been lots. There's been lots. I don't think I would have ever chosen to go comfort a mother whose son had hung himself. I don't think I would have chosen to stand by the graveside with a mother who has buried two children lost to addiction. Love of Christ compels me to be there and to keep doing. This summer, a young man from the reserve, he was 21 years old, he was killed in a car accident on the B-line. Horrific enough, a really great young guy, and I'm going to tell the story about him later. A great young man just devastated the community, devastated his family. When the unthinkable happened just a few months later, his 16-year-old sister went to bed and never woke up. He died of natural causes. Two children lost. What do you say to that? There are no words. We went to the home, we took some food. What do you say? There's no words. There's no words to say. I see this mother constantly posting things on Facebook. Missing her children. We don't expect to lose our children when they're 21 and 16. This family is in lament, deep lament. The community is in lament, and it's hard for them to get out of that because it's just constantly, constantly happening. It's one of those times in life where you have more questions than answers. You maybe have had some of those in your life. Maybe you're in it right now. And the best way I can put it is this. I heard someone say this a long time ago. When you can't trace God's hand, in other words, when things are happening that you never imagined in your life, I've got some of those. Never imagined. When you can't trace God's hand and you're in that place, trust His heart. Trust His heart. We sang some songs today. We sang about mercy and his loving kindness. God loves you. I hope you know that this morning. He loves you. He loves you so much. He wants what's best for you. Can you grab a hold of that this morning? Can you believe that? Because it's true. Because it's true. But you know what? You can't trust someone you don't know. Right? Some of you know me better than others. I have two people with me this morning that the young lady and I'll call her young. I was her youth leader, and we led youth together. Now, this was a few years ago, because we're both grandmas. And her mom is here as well. Her mom and their family played such an important role in our life as when we became Christians early in our life. Late in our life, but early in our Christian walk. Aren't you thankful for people like that? So they joined me this morning, so I'm so thankful they're here. And I know the people of Chesley will make them welcome. I'm so thankful to God that He puts people in our path at just the right time. He's done things that we could never do. Aren't you thankful for those moments? We're going to turn to the book of Lamentations this morning. Book of Lament! Goes with our theme. So if you turn to Lamentations chapter 3, probably because of time, I'm not going to read all of the description. I was going to read the beginning, but I think we're going to be a little pressed for time. So I'm just going to read a couple verses. Lamentations 3. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away, and he's made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me. Again and again, all day long. And this is Jeremiah, and he goes into great detail, talking about his body, talking about being weighed down, not feeling God's hearing his prayers and his cries. He goes on to say, he's pierced my heart. I became the laughingstock of my people, and they laughed at me. He's broken my teeth with gravel. Now I'm jumping way down to 16. I've been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, verse 19 says, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Jeremiah's imagery is vivid. I can picture him sitting there on a pile of rubble, in Jerusalem, destruction all around him. He tried to warn God's people, but they were invaded and taken captives to Babylon. He is at the lowest of low. He feels at the end of himself. And another translation said he felt like a worm. It's all gone. He's in lament. He's sitting on that heap and that pile. This is extreme lament. We have a lot of extreme sports that I know about them. This is extreme lament. This is lament to the highest degree. But you know, lament can move us forward. It can move us towards hope. And I want you to hear this morning. If you choose to let it, the choice is yours and the choice is mine. I can stay stuck there. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've had a good old pity party. Boo-hoo, poor me. You know? And the Lord goes, yeah, you know what? Get over yourself. Get over yourself. Dust yourself off. Get back up. I have plans. I have work for you to do. But we can get in that state, and we don't want to stay there. Nobody feels sorrier for you than you. You're in that mode. As Jeremiah is sitting there, in that heap, in that destruction, all around him, their country's being invaded. Everything that he didn't want to happen has happened. He feels hopeless. There's nothing to do. Oh my goodness, get this morning, as he's sitting in that rubble with nothing around him, lost all hope, he has no reason. He says, yet, in verse 21, amazing, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait on him. What you need to realize is that the circumstances have not changed. Circumstances haven't changed. He is sitting there in total destruction. And there is no reason to hope. But what does he do? Does he throw up his hand, bury his head in the sand? He says, yet, I'm going to remember who God is. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust his promises. Someone here needs this morning. You need a yet. You need a pause. You need to step out of the hopelessness and the defeat you've been feeling. You need to step into a yet moment. You know, it's the hardest thing. Hold on. Trust that God can do it when you don't see it. I don't know about you. I have some grown-up sons that aren't walking with the Lord. And it goes from bad to worse. And I just keep praying. And the things that it has brought into their life, to our life, are devastating. Those moments have crippled me at times. Until I get in the presence of God. When I see the people's lives on their reserve, over and over these cycles of addiction, alcoholism, hopelessness. Sally Bragg, my trust is not in me. Trust is in him. So he says nothing is impossible for him. Have we, as God's people, forgotten who he is? Have we forgotten his promises? Because in this day we're living in, we need to cling to him and to cling to his promises and to have a yet moment, because our world is going to hot quickly. Literally, thank you, Trudeau. Oops. I don't know if you've driven through the reserve. We have a lot of hot jobs. They are not doing any good for the people. In fact, they brought a lot of gangs from cities. They brought a lot of evil in. The best thing you can do is to remind yourself who God is. What he's brought you through in the past. You know, I don't know what it is. But we get spiritual amnesia. Well, we're going through stuff, and I don't know about you, but that old saying, when it rains, it pours, and one problem becomes 10 more. We get spiritual amnesia. We forget who God is. We forget his promises. When I'm lying awake at night, and the enemy wants to remind me of all the things going wrong, I'm not going to let him do that. I told him one time, I'm tired of watching you destroy lives. I'm coming after you. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to fight back. Come on! We're not on a cruise ship. We're on a battleship. Wake up! We need to be awake in this day. God has much for us to do. He is coming back. Soon. I remember telling the kids we taught for 20 years. When I'm in heaven, I want you to be there. It won't be near as good if you're not there. Great is your faithfulness, Lord my God. You know, the enemy loves to do one thing, and that is to isolate us. Because if he can get us alone, he can speak lies. And I see him do this to people over and over. In the church, on the reserve, in my family, he loves to isolate people. We need each other. The Bible says the cord of three strands is not easily broken. Right? I need you. You need me. When I'm struggling, I need you to remind me. When you're struggling, you need me to remind you. We need each other. When our whole society screams individualism, that's not God's way. We need each other. We need each other. God made us that way. I'm not going to read it this morning because, again, I'm probably short for time. But every morning in my prayer for my family, I've started praying Psalm 130. Not because God needs to hear it, because this person right here needs to hear it. Where it says, you know, I'm going to hold my hope is in you. My hope is in your promises. Even though I don't see it, and I don't see it. I don't see it. My hope is in you. Help me trust you in my waiting. But you know, God can change something like that. And we see him do that. Have we forgotten? He's more than able. He's more than able. We need to draw confidence from his promises, seeing that difficulties ahead in the light of his presence and his help. Jeremiah saw nothing positive. Jerusalem is in shambles. They're being invaded by their enemies. It's bleak. Nothing looks positive. Nothing looks worthwhile and or hopeful. Jeremiah, he remembers he still has the greatest and best thing. He still has God. We have to move beyond our feelings. I don't know about you, but my emotions can drip me out. Emotions lie to me. We can't be ruled by our emotions. We have to go much deeper than that. Beyond how we feel, because the enemy, father of lies, and I was found this interesting. I had written he, and then I went to my Bible. Oh, Jesus calls him the thief. The thief. He wants to rob you and I of all peace, of all hope. He's a thief. Jesus said he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Just like Jesus, he doesn't leave it there. He says, no, but I have come that they may have life, and they may have it to the full, abundant, overflowing. That's the life Jesus died to give us. Is that the life we're living? Abundant, full, overflowing. Man, that's the life I want to live. Because Jesus paid a big price to give it to me. But instead, sometimes the weight of the world is on our shoulders. This morning I have a question for you. Are you just surviving? I live with people that just live in survival mode, not live with people. That's not my stand, no. I work with people who live in survival mode, just today. It's hard for them to look to tomorrow or next week, and the Bible aptly says that. Sometimes I think maybe they have it right. But they live in survival mode. When we were made to thrive, not survive, you and I were created to thrive in Christ, no matter what this crazy world throws at us. It's time to throw off those shackles and thrive the way Jesus intends for us, individually and corporately, as his church. Because time is ticking. have that sense. The time is ticking. And I don't know about you. By the end of my life, it's not going to matter if I had four-wheel drive, although it mattered this morning coming here. It's not going to matter what kind of house I'm in or whatever things, because I've never seen a hearse pull you off. But what's going to matter? What's going to matter and mean the most is that when I meet my Savior face to face, I was going to say, I look him in the eye, but I'm sure I'll be on the ground. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I did what he asked me to do, even when it was hard, even when I was in lament, and even when I lost hope, because our hope is in him and his promises. Not me, not programs, not anything else, but God. For my family, for my friends, for the community of Saugeen First Nation, for my neighborhood, for our communities, for this country. This country. Don't lose hope and don't give up. I want to share some hope things that are happening on the reserve. Things where I say, yes, I can see you working. Thank you. Do you know how good God is at just dropping a little nugget when you need it the most? The day where I get up and think, I don't know, Lord. And I'm going to confess to you, there are days I want to be as far away from that reserve as I can be. Because it's not easy. It's not easy to stand with that family. It's not easy to stand with a mother whose son took his life. It's not easy to stand with people who are burying their children and their grandchildren and grandparents raising their grandchildren because their adult children are addicted. It's not easy. God didn't say it ever would be easy. He didn't promise you a rose garden. Then I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. Tuesday mornings. Stan is still able to do this. The women meet for a Bible study. The men go out for breakfast. I think they do more eating than praying, but I'm not going to. They do enjoy their bacon and eggs and whatever they have. I've been walking with the ladies through a lot of inner healing ministry. Because I realized there's a lot of junk in the trunk. There's a lot of junk in our trunks, people. We have stuff. I had stuff. And growing up, from heavy alcoholic water, stuff, all kinds of stuff. And lots of times we don't deal with it. And yes, I met Jesus. And yes, he changed my life. But all of that wasn't just gone. It comes out in various ways. I think, why do I get like angry from 0 to 100 when somebody says this? It's like, arr! Not normal. That's a warning sign. There's something wrong. So as I've been walking them through some inner healing, and I did an inner healing, Stan and I both did, called Freedom Sessions. I greatly encourage it. It's biblical. And it walks you through dealing with some of the stuff in the past. And it takes courage. It takes courage and honesty to sit. Let the Lord work. And we did try to invite some First Nation people in, but it's not good for them. It's like videos with this English man that I know they would have trouble understanding. It's homework. They're not going to do homework. Okay. No. So I said, Lord, how do I incorporate this? Aren't you thankful for God's wisdom? Man, he knows the answers. I certainly don't. I just take the tools I learned and I just share them. And I have watched God setting my ladies free from things in the past. Now, this might not sound big to you, but this is huge. This past Christmas, my little ladies group that we've been healing said, you know, we'd like to do something for someone else. Maybe we could make some bags and give it to the homeless or something. So I'm trying not to be the driver of the bus anymore. I'm in the back seat. So I just support and encourage. And I said, great idea. Yeah, let's do that. I had to do a little initiating, but really, they did it. We made these bags, and we said, well, now, where are we going to take them? There are quite a few services on the reserve, so they didn't feel to do it for on the reserve. Maybe on Sound. They have a lot of homeless population there. One of our ladies comes down from Cape Croker, a little further up the peninsula, and she's been coming there for years, supporting the work on Saheen. So one of our ladies said, I think the Lord wants us to bless Cape Croker. This is a God thing. Hard for me to stand still because I'm getting excited. This is a God thing. Couldn't put this together. That lady decided to call the health center. And she said, our ladies group made these bags. And who, you know, we really want to bless the community. And this lady said, well, I can't believe it. I was just sitting here wondering how I could get together something to bless the addicted in our community. Oh, we have the bags. Sounds good to me. But you know what? We can't pour out of an empty cup. We can't expect people to be looking out when they're hurting within. So it was a journey, and it's taken a long time. And they don't just want that to be a one-off now. They're looking for other projects. I'm excited. That's never happened before. That's never happened. God is out. There's that hope. Yet, I will call this to mind. Something small. How many of you know? Don't ever underestimate the power of a seed. Not our job to do anything with it, but God, He can do much with it. I'm jumping all over. Okay, Thursday night, we meet to pray. We still have our gatherings. Stan is still able to do Tuesday morning and Thursday nights. So that's great. And we meet, we just gather in the elders' building on the reserve, and we worship and pray, and it has been amazing seeing God answer prayers. We know God answers prayer, right? Not always the way we think. You know, sometimes God tells me, you know, Sally, I don't need your help. Because I want to tell him, well, you know, this would work really well. Yeah. What a joke. God knows exactly what's needed, when it's needed. And we were praying for this man. I'll just share this. And he had fallen and hit his head. And he was in a vegetative state. And the doctors told him that this is it. This is going to be his life. He was young. He was like in his 50s. That's young now. And our little group started praying in it. And God did a miracle. He's up walking around. We've seen him walking in the building. But his brother came. Now his brother struggles with alcohol. And he shows up on our door probably 3 times a week. Stan, could you give me a ride? So he drinks. And he has a very serious heart condition. He goes to the hospital and gets treated. Then he comes to our door to take him home. So the last time he came, 3 days in a row in 1 week, Stan said, okay, you know I love you, but you need to stop this. You're going to die. You're going to die. So this brother came to our meeting. He's a big, tall guy. Struggles with mental health at times. He was just weeping. And he said, I was there. I sat there. When the doctor said, my brother will never walk. And this is it for the rest of his life. And he's out walking around. Well, praise God. All glory to him. All glory to him. The Lord is good. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord is compassionate and loving and kind and forgiving and merciful. Oh, how we need his perspective for ourselves, for our families, for our community, for our country. We need that in the days we're living in. He's still on the throne. Amen?
Amen.
He's still in control. Donald Trump is not. God is. God is. You know, that young man I told you about that was killed, I wanted to share a story of him. And I'm going to move to celebration to end our time together. We ran into him. A lot of the kids that we work with are now young adults. And so he's pumping gas. Hey, if you want good gas, come to the rest. It's much cheaper. I think it was $1.35 when I drove by today. I don't know what it was, like $1.53 in town. We often go out just because of the people we see. It's not really about the gas. This young guy that was killed was pumping our gas. Now, when he came to our kids' program, he barely said two words for 20 years. Like, he's a really quiet kid. He kept coming week after week. Stan would pick him up on the bus. And as he was pumping our gas, he thought of something. We were shocked at this day because he doesn't say anything. He said, "Stan, look what my girlfriend gave me." And he flipped up this cross necklace. And he said, "I always tell people that my best teachers are at kids' church. You never know. You don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow for somebody. You don't know. You waste a moment. We have no idea. In a few months, that young man will be at his funeral." Sharing that story with his grandma, she comes to our prayer Thursday night. The cross meant something. You know, God can use and will use anything. And we never know how he might work in someone's life. That's his job. Ours is simply to do what he says. I don't have to save Salveen. I can't save Salveen. I can't even save myself. My God can. My God can turn things around. And I see these little pockets of hope. And I want to tell you that over the 25 years, whenever hope gets going, we usually go back 50 steps. Forward and back. And forward and back. And I refuse to survive. And to think things won't change. I shared a message, hope, lament, not quite like this, on Thursday night in celebration. Because I feel God's going to do something amazing in the community, in our families, in our communities, in our country, before he comes back. Christian, this fine Christian couple I've known for years, I was speaking at a senior's dinner, luncheon, and she came up to me and she said, "You know, Sally, you talked about revival, but I just want you to know that's not going to happen." Oh, I thought of a lot of things. But I decided the best thing, which is to move along. That's not what I believe. Because my hope is in God, and it's his promises. And he loves, and he died so that people could know him. It is not his will that any would perish, but all would come to the saving knowledge. You might have a loved one, much like myself, that you've been waiting a long time. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep knocking on heaven's door. If we're not praying, who's going to be praying? I want to wear my knees and pray. I want to see it. I want to see it in my lifetime. Well, let's move into celebration because we have much to celebrate as Christians. Amen? Celebration is an act of expressing reverence or appreciation to God. sharing joy with others. It's remembering what he's done in the past and rejoicing in what he is doing presently and what he will do in the future. We as Christians have every reason to celebrate. We're on the winning side, right? Jesus is the victor over sin. He already defeated the enemy. He defeated sin. He defeated death and the grave. Amen? I was listening to a song when I was driving here called "The Only Scars in Heaven," and it's only on Jesus. I was worshiping as I was going through a drift. Because I was lost. In his presence. Do you get in his presence regularly? Because I'm going to tell you, I can go into his presence. And sometimes I do it while I'm doing this little weight workout, because apparently your muscles all go spongy as you age. So I'm down there trying to lift these weights, and the whole time, and I'm not exact, I'm just crying. It's ugly. That's why I'm alone. It's ugly on many levels. I'm going to tell you. When I come up from that basement, yeah, maybe my muscles are a little whatever. My spirit is soaring. Because I've been in the presence of the living God. You don't come out the same way you go in. Get in his presence. Sit with him. Give him it all. Tell him your problems. Unyoke yourself and give it to him. Stop trying to carry it yourself. Stop trying to deal with it yourself. It will not work. Give it to Jesus so that he can fill you with hope and trust once again. And I can only preach this with such vigor because he did it for this person right here who was sinking in the weight of many things, who gets up and refuses to go by what my physical eye sees. And when I pray, things get worse. And worse. What's that thing? Good to bad to ugly? I think I'm ugly. I hope I'm ugly. I don't want it to get worse. Yet, I will call this to mind. And I will have hope. And I will trust in his promises. Because they are all yes and amen. We need to celebrate again, church. I believe we've lost celebration. Somewhere through COVID and whatever else has come at us. We need to be celebrating the goodness of our God. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't he good? Amen. Isn't he faithful? We need to be celebrating him. Celebration moves us from fear to faith. It does. A great thing to remind each other when we're going through seasons of pain and loss and sorrow is that it won't last forever. Just like the sun rose this morning. The current things we find ourselves, they won't last forever. It might feel like it. Don't go by your feelings. Tell it it's going to move. Believe it's going to move. Believe. God would tell his church, believe. Trust. I'm not talking about some mansy-pansy, name it and claim it. I'm talking about open his promises, because guess what? He hasn't failed me yet. He hasn't failed me yet. Oh, I better not poke myself in the eye. Okay. Celebration, my friends, is meant to give glory to God. And friends, is he not worthy? He is worthy. We're going to close with Romans 4, 20 and 21, which is up there. And this is kind of my prayer over all of us, myself included. Yet, he did not waver in unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is referring to Abraham. Abraham was told he was going to have all these descendants. He is 100 years old. Anybody here 100? Yeah. And God tells him, you and your wife are going to a son. And we have one of those moments. We have a young son. I wasn't 100. Thank you, Lord. 99, I think Sarah was. But this little, this blessing later in life, who's now 6'1" and 17. My oldest son will be 40.
Oh,
was a bit of a span. So I always get a laugh when people say to me, "Are you sure span in your children?" Yeah, I planned it. I thought I would put, 23 years between the oldest and the youngest, just for fun. And fun it is. And he's a blessing. There was hyperventilating. Abraham, this is talking about him. He chose to believe. Do you choose to believe this morning that God can do for our families, in our community, this community of Chester, our country of Canada? Do you believe he can do what he says? He can and will do. We need to. We need to grab hold of his promises for us personally, for our families, for our communities, for our country. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come this morning. I know I didn't share a lot about the work. You can ask me questions later, but this is what God laid in my heart. I've been here many times. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask me later. Please keep praying. We need it. Pray for our family. Think about it. Pray for Stan in his new role as a pastor at Shiloh. It's a lot to juggle. It sometimes feels like juggling. One thing I didn't mention is we are right on the cusp, and so pray about this, of seeing some cross-pollination. So a couple families on the reserve are saying, "Oh, could we come to Shiloh?" We're starting a life group in our home. We've already invited a First Nation couple. God can do it. That's nothing we could do. But God can do it. Believe that. Amen?
Amen. Amen.